It's Monday, August 4th, 2008, and you're watching Endpoint TV.
Hey, this is Ron Jacobs, your host for Endpoint TV, and welcome back to another episode where today we're going to feature me. That's right. I have today an interview that I did with Bob Familiar at TechEd North America, where we were talking kind of about soap versus rest, and I thought I would share that all with you here on Endpoint TV so you can hear my perspective anyway on how does soap and rest compare. Is this some kind of war? Is it, one's right, one's wrong? No, it isn't any of that. But I want you to hear the perspective. So let's go to TechEd North America in Orlando from June and listen to this interview from the TechEd Fishbowl.
Hi, this is Bob Familiar. I'm here at TechEd 2008. I'm sitting here with Ron Jacobs, who's now the senior technical evangelist for Windows Communication Foundation and Windows Workflow. Of course, he's very well known for creating ArcCast on Channel 9. Ron, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about your new role.
Well, it's really fun because, I had a blast doing ArcCast, and actually, it's made me sort of opened my eyes to a lot of different things that architects do and think, and learned a lot about what people have done. And so I kind of take that whole breadth of knowledge that I gathered from the last couple years of making over 300 ArcCast episodes and brought it back down to, once again, working very close with the team that's building the product and working very close on SOA with WCF and Windows Workflow and how these things actually kind of flesh out in the real world, So as we're moving into this new vision that we're calling Oslo, it's my job to kind of explain to the world how Workflow and WCF are key foundational pieces of this vision and how they're going to work out in the future. Really looking forward to this. When I heard about this opportunity, I said, man, I cannot pass that up. That was just too cool.
Oh, it's very good. And you're the right person for accomplishing those goals. So one of the areas, obviously, you're going to focus on is web services.
Right.
And there are two popular approaches to implementing web services. There's REST and there's SOAP. And are these competing approaches? Are they? Are there differences? Are there similarities? Help us understand that space.
Yeah, there's certainly strong feelings on both sides, right? But actually, I would say the REST people seem to be like really have a lot of fervor about it. In fact, sometimes we call them Restafarians, because it's almost a religious zeal, And they both have their place. They're both interesting. Look, we try to be neutral in this and say, you ought to be able to do either one. And sometimes when I talk about this, people think, oh, Ron, you sound like a Restafarian. No, it's just that for the last 5 years, I've been talking about soap. So, in fact, just 3 months ago, I didn't really know much about REST. So I spent the last 3 months learning a lot about it, kind of exploring it, writing some code. Yes, I write code again. I came away kind of with some aha moments, wow, that's kind of surprising. So in the end, I think there's value in both sides. And I think a good architect wants to understand where one approach is appropriate or the other one.
Okay. Now, also in that space, we hear about plain old XML and RSS. How do they fit into that?
Yeah, so I think plain old XML, or POX, as a lot of people will say, is really kind of in the REST side of the world. More than anything, and RSS or Atom feeds. Atoms become more cool lately than RSS, right?
Okay.
And it's sort of the same idea. It's just a syndication structure, and WCF supports both of them. Both of those are more, in my thinking, more aligned to REST than they are to SOAP, because SOAP is a very prescriptive way about how we're going to transfer messages across HTTP or other protocols, where clearly POX and feed-based things like RSS or Atom are HTTP-based. They're they're not using soap envelopes and that sort of thing, so they'd clearly be more restful.
Okay. So now that we can see there's all these choices I can take, so that the restful approach, more dealing with the HTTP protocol and all my various types of commands and requests I can do through that, or SOAP, which seems to be more formal, a lot more structured, has the ability to layer in security and things of that sort, mm-hmm. very sophisticated way. What are the guiding principles as an architect? You say, okay, we're about to do some web service work. What's going to take you in one direction or the other?
Right. So I kind of say, I joke with people, I say, like, these protocols grew up on different sides of the planet, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like, a lot of guys like me came from the world of distributed components, and RPC, and we thought about remote objects and method invocations, and so SOAP felt very natural to us.
Right.
And it was just kind of a progression from that sort of worldview. And REST grew up on the other side of the planet of these web guys, and they write lots of JavaScript, and they don't have these kind of rich protocol stacks, and they don't even need them or want them, And so they're all about very lightweight things that are highly composable, like web mashups and that sort of things, and feeds, and that came out of their side of the world of thinking. So partly you have to understand these different ways of thinking produce benefits in different scenarios. So the big aha moment for me with REST was, as I was researching this, I started experimenting with Yahoo's REST API, their RESTful services, and invoking their services. And I noticed right away that you can invoke the Yahoo web search service with just a URL in Internet Explorer. You can just type it in. Everything that it needs to know about the request is right there in the URI. And so then it hit me, hey, if it's all in the URI, I could go to Notepad. So I went to Notepad, do file open, I put this URI in. Notepad can invoke the Yahoo web search service. Now, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Who would ever want to do that? But when you step back for a second and say, could Notepad invoke my SOAP-based service? No, there's not a chance in the world it will.
Right.
What does that matter? Well, it tells me something about the nature of the two stacks. The REST stack is very thin and lightweight, and any app or platform infrastructure that understands HTTP can invoke it. SOAP requires a SOAP stack, and if I'm using WS Star protocols, the WS Security and whatever, and message level security and encryption, it's a complex stack.
Right.
Now, if I say, hey, I'm going to make a service, and I want anybody anywhere on the planet, no matter what platform or language they're writing in, they're just doing some JavaScript, or they're doing PHP or whatever, who knows what they're doing, I want them to be able to invoke my service, I'm going to choose REST. Because it's a very, very low bar. Virtually anybody can do it. Now, if I say, look, I'm inside my enterprise, I've got these distributed apps are going back and forth, and I need, to flow transactions or kind of rich security scenarios, I'm going to choose SOAP.
Right.
It's way better for that. And, I can point my Visual Studio at an endpoint, say, add a reference, I get a nice generated proxy. I can't do that with REST. So there's no equivalent of WSDL, really. I mean, yes, there's a thing called WADL, but nobody really uses it, right? So, and there's no specification for REST, really, so they get in all these debates like, is that service RESTful or not? And they argue about it and all those sorts of things. That doesn't exist in the SOAP side because we have a SOAP specification that says what it is. And so, depending on what you need, one has a strength that's very, very broad reach, very lightweight and easy. The other has a strength that's, rich, deep protocol stacks that give you lots of power. They're both appropriate for different scenarios.
Right, so it doesn't seem as if they're not really a contention between the two. You just have to understand where they fit and choose the right tool for the right job.
Which is why we need architects.
Right.
Get over the wars. Just pick the right protocol for the right scenario.
Right. Now, obviously, we at Microsoft, the .NET framework, we offer Windows Communication Foundation as the tool for doing distributed computing. Now, does it support? And we know it supports SOAP. Does it support REST? Does it support RSS and plain old XML?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, if you look at a lot of the investments we've made in WCF, in .NET 3.5, we added a new assembly, a namespace called System Service Model Web. And it was specifically designed to support REST scenarios and in RSS and ATOM, and now we're even adding support for the ATOM Publishing Protocol in Service Pack 1. So we've spent a great deal of investment on WCF to extend it to support these REST scenarios as well as the SOAP scenarios. Now, we're not saying, oh, we think SOAP is bad now, we're all going REST, and, you know, like, you know, some people might think that. It's just because, look, for 5 years we've been talking SOAP, we've been investing SOAP, building it, we were talking all about it. Right. Now, all of a sudden, you know, we're talking REST. We don't mean to say, now we think REST is good and SOAP is bad. No, we're not saying that.
No.
We're just saying, we had SOAP, now we're adding REST, so naturally we talk more about the thing we just added. That's right. All we're saying.
Right, it's great news to know you've got both in a common framework.
Yeah, and what's really exciting, the ADO.net team built this thing that was a project codenamed Astoria, but its formal name is ADO.net Data Services. It's a very rich framework for exposing resources in a REST sort of way over HTTP protocol. It's built on WCF, so if you're using it, you're using WCF. And it's based on, you describe your data model using the entity framework, so you have the entity data model, and it just exposes this model out with the RESTful API. It's very, very powerful, very cool. If you want to get up and running with the REST service really quickly, that's a way to do it. Now, if you say, yeah, you know, but I want to tweak these knobs and have much more fine-grained control exactly how the thing works,
right,
that's no problem. You can write it with WCF. And so we have kind of both options.
Oh, that's really great. I hadn't heard about that. So that's some great news there.
Yeah.
What are the benefits then? Let's say if you had choice of approaches to doing a RESTful service, why would you choose WCF?
Well, look, I mean, at the end of the day, if I'm doing a RESTful service, really all I need is some kind of HTTP thing, right? So, right. I mean, I could just go on ASP.NET and, you know, write an HTTP handler. You know, it gives me a stream, just spew things into the stream, right? I could do that. Now, I'm going to write a lot of code that way. I'm going to get a little less help from the infrastructure, right? So I think there's a couple of key values that WCF brings to this. One is that I still have the notion of a contract. Now, REST people don't talk about contracts very often, but they're there.
Yeah.
I mean, even like the Yahoo search services, they have an XSD file that describes the XML payload you're going to get. So that is a notion of a contract. In WCF, we have contracts through interfaces and data contracts and the same sort of thing. And so we put a little structure over the REST stuff that you're doing. And I think that's useful. And then secondly, the big aha moment for me about this was I was writing my little sample code, and one of the things I wanted to do was support server-side caching using the systemweb.cache object. So, you know, I grabbed the HTTP runtime object and get the cache, and I was kind of manually doing all this caching code, right? Mm. And it's not hard code to write, but it is, the semantics of it are important. Like if you mess up your cache code, you get nasty bugs, right? Like I updated this record and then I go get it and it's not updated. I think right. The update didn't take and things like that, you right. know. So caching code can be tricky and you have to manage it correctly. And I was thinking, well, okay, I've got this caching code kind of sprinkled all over my implementation, which isn't bad if it's just me writing the code, but if I was on a team with like 20 developers and there's a mix of very senior guys and some brand new guys, you know, we'd be spending a lot of time chasing down caching bugs if we did that.
Right.
So I said, well, there's a better way, and WCF is very, very extensible, so I can write a behavior. So I created an endpoint behavior. It's just implement this interface, and I attribute my operations and say, I called my behavior REST cache. So I say, cache this for 60 seconds, and, you know, it's the name of the resource that I'm caching. And then I have, like, if I have a method that updates that resource, it invalidates all the cache entries related to that. So just by decorating my operation contract with these attributes, I get this caching behavior, and it's going to be uniform across all of the interfaces that use it. So now if I got like the new guy right out of university who's working on the team, who doesn't understand all this caching stuff, I go, look, just attribute this. We've written the cache behavior. It's going to be correct and consistent across all of the endpoints that we're surfacing. That's huge. There's really a lot of value in doing that sort of thing. And, of course, WCF also has great support for diagnostics and tracing and that sort of thing that I can just flip switches and get this all for free.
That's a lot richer than just hitting a URL and spewing back some XML or something.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah.
Where can we find out more about this approach?
Well, there's not a great deal of information on MSDN about REST and WCF yet. Okay. And we recognize that. I mean, there's a little bit there that describes, you know, some of the attributes and things, but like a lot of things, there's things you don't learn until you kind of dive into it.
Yeah.
Certainly, I learned a lot by doing this. We're actually working on, building out some new resources, maybe some new templates or white papers and videos and things. I'm actually starting a new podcast. I'm going to call it Endpoint at endpoint.tv. So I'll have some episodes about here's kind of, if you're interested in this, how you would do it. You can look for more information in the Web Services Developer Center on MSDN. My blog at blogs.msdn.com/rjacobs. I have blog posts there that I have done, and I'll be doing more.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
So it sounds like it's your job to to get that information.
Yes, yes.
Out
they
there.
Said, Ron, you must solve this problem. Help people to figure this out. No. Look, and of course, the ADO.net data services, they have documentation about their thing and pages and samples you can look at from their point of view.
Excellent.
Too.
Excellent. Great discussion. Ron, thank you very much.
Absolutely. So, hope you enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun doing that. We'll have much, much more content for you about REST here on Endpoint TV. So, see you next time. For Endpoint TV, this is your host, Ron Jacobs.